Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Welcome all of you now tuning in and watching this on live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. I just finished welcoming the people, but if you haven't gotten sick of it, welcome again. Welcome to the house of God. It's always great to see all of you here during service. When you're able to come, we have a Tuesday morning service, and I know in that service, there's a lot of people working, you know, in their day job. And it, like I mentioned this morning, it makes me happy when I see a sizable count, watch count on the live stream, on the YouTube. You know, it's encouraging. Sometimes the church is not as full as you imagined and as you wish, but that's okay. I do this for the Lord. I don't do it for recognition or anything else. You know, and we all, I think we can all agree that everything that we do here in the house of God is for the Lord. And that will never change. But nonetheless, thank you so much for tuning in. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you have created. Thank you so much, Lord, for a wonderful service, two services, as a matter of fact, today. And we thank you, Lord, that we can enjoy your presence here in your house this evening. And as I always say, Lord, be glorified in our midst. May you take, Lord, all the credit, all the glory, and all the honor. May your people, Lord, hear you and see you and not me. We love you, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go straight to our opening verse here. I have a selection of verses to cover this evening. I'll try not to draw this out too long, but nonetheless, I want to get to my opening verse right away. This evening, we're going to be studying from the book of Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to cover the first three verses of Genesis 12. And I am ready for the verse. Yep, there it is. Praise God. Excuse me. Genesis 12:1 says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" That's a pretty nice verse, if you ask me. If the Lord showed up to me one of these days and said these words to me, oh boy, I would hit the floor, right? You, whatever analogy you want to give, I would go to heaven and back, or whatever the case might be. These are some strong, powerful words from the Lord God himself. Now, the title for this evening service is The Beginning of Israel. And you'll find out why in just a moment, why I named it this. But back to Abraham now. If the Lord had made these promises to you and said these words to you, man, that would be like everything. And to understand fully what God has done, particularly in this particular situation here, it is necessary to go back to the beginning to see our Lord's purposes in primarily choosing Israel, the nation of Israel. Have you ever stopped and wondered, why was Israel chosen as God's people. Yeah, thank you, sister.
Well, I think it's because they taught their children the rules and regulations of their day.
Yes.
All the other nations did not.
So I'm going to emphasize what you just said because I have the mic and the people did not hear you. So our sister here says that it's because they taught their children about the Lord, whereas other nations did not. And this is the reason why the Lord chose Israel. Okay, very good statement. And I'm actually going to touch on this evening. This is part of my sermon this evening. So you're on the right track, 100%. But I'm also going to say that before there were, let's just say, the children of Israel, we come across that term, right? Around this time, there were no children of Israel. I even go as far as saying Abraham wasn't even Abraham. He was Abram. His name was shorter. But yet, you know, this was already set in place. Israel's beginning occurs not with Jacob, right? But with the calling of Abraham. Jacob is the one who had his name changed from Jacob to Israel. And then that's where it started, you know, and started in the land of Egypt once upon a time. But even before Jacob ever came to the picture, later on becoming Israel, there was Abram. So, I want to bring your attention right now to God's final remark that we see in verses 3 that we just finished reading. Verses 3 is the most fundamental reason God chose Abraham. If you haven't paid attention, pay attention to verses 3. And thus Israel and his descendants, to bless mankind in the purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 3 right now, if you're able to put up the verse on the screen real quick. It says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And then this is the highlighted part. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And in you, all of us, I officially have a family, right? Of one daughter, praise God. And more children to come, God willing, right? We all belong to a family, right? I heard a strong amen on that last statement coming from over here. And I've been hearing the strong amen for a while now. So, we all are part of a family. We have a wife. We have a husband. We have siblings. We have children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews, whatever the case might be. Cousins. These are the families. All the families of the earth will be blessed. Shall be blessed. It says, and in you. In you. Let's not overlook that aspect of verses 3. It speaks about the blessing mankind through the one person, and that one person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the center. Christ is the focus of every single thing. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the end. The Lord Jesus Christ is the end, or he is the goal of the law. Let's just call it the end, just to keep things simple. May I please have Romans chapter 10, verses 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. All you have to do is believe. All that you have to do is simply that. We no longer have to be carrying a little billy goat down the street. You know, we don't have to carry a bull if you really messed up, a ram. You know how much a bull costs these days? Imagine the Lord telling you, you need to kill 7 bulls like he did the friends of Job, right? Jehoaphaz. Zophaz. Yeah. That's, if it's $1,000 a head and my transgression now just officially cost me $7,000, whoo, I'm crying all the way over to the priest. I'm crying all the way to the altar. Oh, Lord, forgive me. How about just one? Will one suffice? No. Not only that, I'm not going to listen to your prayer. I'm going to listen to the prayer of Job. And he's going to pray over you. But it's going to cost you 7 bulls. Whew, that's hitting your pockets, right? The Lord knows where to get your attention. But nonetheless, our Lord Jesus came and changed all of that. For only for those that believe. Believe in your miracle. Believe in the powers of the Lord Jesus. Believe in who you are in Christ and everything else. Christ is the one toward whom the whole Old Testament was written about. Our Lord Jesus Christ appears from the very beginning all the way to the very end in every single part of the Bible. May I please have Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. By faith, we are justified. And how coincidental that when we say the term the father of faith, who are we thinking about? Abraham. Abraham is called the father of faith. And now, it just goes back all the way over, circles back again to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I also have Luke 24, verses 44. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Me who? Jesus Christ. Here you clearly see that God, that Jesus more specifically, is all over the Bible. Our Lord Jesus himself is saying all these words here. These words were spoken to you, which I spoke to you, while I was still with you, that all these must be fulfilled, starting in the law of Moses, going on to the prophets and everything else in between. He even mentioned Psalms. The grand book of Psalms, 150 chapters, right? Concerning myself. So the whole Old Testament was written about Christ, about the Lord Jesus. And as the Apostle Paul puts it to us, our Lord Jesus is all in all. He is everything, every single thing. I'll bring two verses to your attention in regards to that. The first one is going to be Colossians 3:11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Our Lord God is every single thing. God is in the mix. It doesn't matter what nationality you're from, what creed, whatever walk of life you come from. The barbarians are even mentioned in those words, right? Imagine, the barbarians in the Bible. Another one, Ephesians 1:23. Can I have that, please? Which is his holy body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, Our Lord Jesus Christ is everything. And physically, our Lord Jesus had to descend from a line of humanity. He had to come through a bloodline of some sort. Abraham, who was himself a descendant from those who had been faithful to God in earlier times, possessed the special qualities that pleased the Lord our God. Abraham came from a group of people, from a group of family that feared the Lord. Very much so. They were all descendants, you know, of course, at the time from Adam and Eve. And they were the group of people that really took to heart what their great-great-grandparents had mentioned. Or three great-grandparents, I believe. Abraham. They all knew the story of their ancestors, how they walked with God. How they were in this magnificent, on this wonderful garden. Visitations of God. They paid attention to all these things. And they never let go. And Abraham was key on all of this. So for that, they were already a special people. The people of Abraham, where he comes from. And he possessed a special quality. A nature that loved the Lord. And therefore, our Lord chose Abraham and his family, which later became known as Israel, to work through to bring the wonderful blessing of salvation to all of mankind. And this is a wonderful thing for us to know. Our Lord God says of him in Genesis 18:19 these words, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken of him." And that's exactly what you said. You mentioned that these people observed God. They loved the Lord. And the Lord honored that 100%. This man who, Abraham, who we're talking about now, he had a special relationship with God. And there are a few men in the Bible who I truly admire based upon the very special relationship that they have with God. They have a keen, an acute, I don't know what other word to use here, but a very, very special relationship with the Creator God, with the Lord God Almighty. Abraham knew God. And there's a few men in the Bible or you can say such thing. Abraham knew the Lord. And guess what? God also knew him. God says he had worked with Abraham to bring out the qualities that would allow the patriarch to command his descendants so that they would keep the way of the Lord. And in plain words, Abraham has such a force of godly character that he would pass down to his descendants an infinity of God's way. His descendants observed God, the word of the Lord, loved the Lord. Let me show you a key principle right now that is mentioned in Exodus chapter 20, verses 6. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You see there? Why am I bringing this verse to your attention right now? God is telling us right now that He will show mercy to thousands, to those who love Him, keep His commandments, obey Him. We all know that our God is a jealous God, yes? Our God is, you don't play that. No. It's either 100 or nothing. That is, our God is jealous of the worship and the love of His people. He is not going to share His love, His worship, with anything else. Sometimes we forget about that and putting God number one. Our God is a jealous God. And furthermore, our God visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. Doesn't the Word of God say that?
Yes.
Through inherited weaknesses, through poverty, through diseases. I'm even going to include a shortened lifespan. It's very unfortunate and it's very sad sometimes for you to see someone dying in their teen years. I know someone dying in their 20s. I even go as far as saying their 30s. You know, because of sin, because of iniquity, because of so many things. Now, the Lord is in control. The Lord knows everything. And sometimes we might think that a person was a good person and this and that, and they were a churchgoer. The Lord understands everything. I'm not going to try to play God in this particular situation. But the Lord does say that He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation in various different ways. But equally God has mercy and shows mercy, and His mercy endures to thousands of generations, not thousands of people. His mercy expands to thousands of generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments, as it's mentioned right now in Exodus chapter 20, verses 6. And in Abraham, God created a people who had a special link to Him. In Abraham, his descendants and his people had a special love for God. And then God knew that. The Lord understood that. For the purpose He was working out, for what the Lord had in mind, His plan for your salvation and my salvation, all these things, Abraham was the very best candidate for all of that. And later on in the Bible, he is given the title, the Father of us all, which is a grand title, in the faith, from whom to build a model nation with certain desires and certain qualities. Let me bring to your attention that verse, Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Man. That's a pretty grand title. That's kind of a big deal. Now, equally with that statement, I must also say that we should be careful not to take this idea way too far, not beyond what it should be. Why? Because Abraham was not perfect. Abraham was not perfect. Abraham sinned. Abraham transgressed. And his story reveals that he had to grow a great deal. Abraham did have to grow in this faith. His faith walk, his communion with God, his unity with God, did have from time to time some downfalls. He came short a little bit, you know. So, nevertheless, he was the only person, if you notice, whom God ever asked to sacrifice his only son. The only person. Just like he did, the Lord God. The Lord God gave his son to us, and Abraham was the only one who the Lord approached and asked him to do the same thing. You notice that? If nothing else, this puts Abraham at least one rung above every single one of us, above the rest of us. At least one notch over. Beyond that, his righteousness does not make his descendants one whit better than other people of the earth. No. Their prime advantage lies on the fact that since God had a close relationship with Abraham, since God and Abraham were just like this, right? Just like that, they hold a very, very special place in God's heart. And this is what I want you to walk away with this evening. I mentioned a lot of things about Abraham and about Israel and everything else, about our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to walk away from this evening service realizing one thing, that when we have a special relationship with God, boy, are we a privileged people.
Hallelujah.
We are. We are. The Lord will honor your faith. And the Lord will honor the relationship that you have with Him. And see to it that your descendants, that your seed, that your blood is blessed. And we see this in Israel. The title here is The Beginning of Israel. And let this be the beginning of a special walk this evening with the Lord your God. Because of this close relationship with God that Abraham had, this entire nation, the nation of Israel, I mean, I want to say that it's the apple of God's eye. Our Lord Jesus was sent to them, but they did not know them. So now we have been adopted. We inherited the salvation. First it came to the Jews and then to the Greeks, and then everybody else, the Gentiles, the Romans, and then us. But nonetheless, because of a special relationship that this one man had, everybody else holds a very special place in God's heart. My final verse for this evening, it will come from Deuteronomy 7. We're going to cover verses 7 and 8. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all people. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Because the Lord loved you, and because of the oath that He made with your father, you are a special people, and He has loved you, and He has brought you out and kept you and preserved you in a dramatic fashion. And ultimately, this is the beginning of Israel. for His purpose, for the Lord's purpose, and to produce an eventual blessing for all of the nations of the world, all of the families of the world, like you and I. God needed to start with the best clay that He could find, the best clay that He can mold. He was able to find the best clay in Abraham. And praise God, because through Abraham now, Israel came, and through Israel, our Lord Jesus came through the bloodline. But remember one thing. To those who have a close relationship with God, like Abraham had a relationship with God, everyone else has a very special place in God's heart. And the Lord promises to bless your descendants to 1,000 generations. But rest assured that it must begin with us. It begins right here, right now, with your relationship one-on-one with God. Are you ready for this faith walk with the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we exalt you. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die on a cross for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. We believe, Lord, in those promises. We believe, Lord, that you are kind, a merciful, a just God. And thank you, Lord, that we are able to find fulfillment, find success, find our healing, be whole in you, Lord, in you and you alone. And I pray, Lord, that we will continue to search for you, a communion, a close relationship with you, just like Abraham did. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to please you. We want to honor you. This is the desires of our heart. And I pray, Lord, that we will have this will, this desire to be faithful to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, and thank you for your mercy. Lord, as we always say, we love you. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.